السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، السلام على رسول الله أمين الله على وحيه وعزائم أمره، الخاتم لما سبق والفاتح لما استقبل، والمهيمن على ذلك كله، ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام على صاحب السكينة، السلام على المدفون في المدينة، السلام على المنصور المؤيد، السلام على أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، فقد قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Let me begin by thanking you, our honorable guests, each and every one of you. Many of you drove long distances to make it here tonight, with busy freeways, with the beautiful traffic that we have in Southern California. So thank you for making it. All of you are special guests. And we are honored to have among us our partners in faith from the Jewish community, the Christian community, and the Muslim communities. Let me welcome Lee Wiseman, our dear friend, a very close friend of the Muslim community. He's from the Jewish community in Irvine, California. He's an educator, a teacher, and a good friend of us, and my children too. I welcome Dr. Steve Gelliland and Judy, his wife, honorable wife. Many of you do not know that Steve and Judy from the Latter-day Saint Church, they fast the entire month of Ramadan in solidarity with the Muslim community. I'm very proud of them. I visited their home country. Steve took me with some American Muslim imams to Salt Lake City for a two-day tour. I was happy on the one hand, and I was sad on the other hand. I was happy for their achievements. I took a tour of the Mormon Church and the facilities that they created, especially the humanitarian aid worldwide. They send food, medicine, clothing, everything to the poor and the needy around the world. They are a good example of the mission of Jesus Christ. They represent the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus. So I was happy for that. The reason I was sad, because we don't do these things in the Muslim community. And we have to learn. We have to learn from Jesus and from Muhammad, peace be upon them, that the humanitarian work is the most basic principle of our traditions, of our religions. So thank you, Steve, and thank you, Judy, for being here tonight with us. I'd like to thank Pastor Mark Davis from a beautiful church, Presbyterian Church here in Newport Beach. He's very busy throughout the day. He just finished his program at his church, and thankfully he made it here, and we would enjoy his presentation tonight too. I'd like to thank Dr. Iba Hathout, the daughter of the renowned scholar, the late Dr. Hassan Hathout. Dr. Hassan, may God bless his soul. I call him and his brother, Dr. Maher, the pioneers of Islam in the United States of America. He has been to this place many times. And now we are being graced with the presence of his honorable and his only child, the only child to Dr. Hassan Hathout. May Allah bless the soul of your father and your mother, both of them. My friends, we are celebrating the birthday of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his grandson, the sixth Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, and his grandson, Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wassalam. But also we are celebrating our brotherhood and our sisterhood. Whenever Prophet Muhammad mentioned Jesus, he would say, "Dhaka akhi Isa." That is my brother Jesus. Between them there is 600 years. But he would refer to Jesus as my brother. Whenever he mentioned Moses, though there is a period of 1500 years between them, he would say, "Dhaka akhi Musa." That is my brother Moses. And this is true. And we have to emphasize this brotherhood. We have to tell our people and the American people that the Jews, the Muslims, the Christians are not enemies. They are friends. They are brothers and sisters. They walk in the path of their leaders, their messengers, their apostles, their prophets. And their leaders were brothers. In Surah Al-Anbiya, a chapter named the Prophets, God mentions the name of 25 messengers in one chapter, 25 names. And at the end, he says, "Inna ummatukum hadhihi ummatun wahida." Those prophets, though there is a distance between them, sometimes hundreds of years, separates them, but they are one family. They walk in the same path. They have one mission and they have one message. They are inviting their congregations and their people to worship God, the only God, and to do good in this life. And they are telling their congregations that we are here for a test. This is not the real life. We are here for 70, 80, maximum 90 years. Then we leave. There is another life waiting for us, the hereafter. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Therefore, you have to do your best. You have to race with each other in goodness, in helping the humanity, in saving the humanity, in guiding the humanity. So tonight we are celebrating our interfaith and intrafaith brotherhood and sisterhood. We have to be united. We have no other choice. In order for us to save America, to make America great again, we, the Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews, we have to be together. We should not be divided. We should change the diatribe into a dialogue, into more conversation, into more visitations. I always urge my brothers and sisters in the Muslim community, please go to other churches, go to other synagogues, go to other mosques, go to other temples. Show up there and tell them, "I'm your neighbor. We are not enemies. We are here for the goodness of the whole humanity." And if we get united, we can make our land the most beautiful land. The land does not become beautiful only with a strong military or a strong economy. It becomes beautiful, flourishing, with a strong community, with a strong hearts. When you put the hearts together, when people work with each other, when people help each other, when people rush to save each other and defend each other. I've seen whenever we had an attack on Islam in this country or other countries, the first people to come, the first people to rush to defend us, are people from the church or the synagogue. They stand outside. They say, we shield you against any evil act, against any attack. This is the beauty of America. For me, the beauty of America, when we stand together, when we work together, when we get closer to each other, when we understand each other, when we tolerate each other. Yes, we have different ideologies. Maybe we have different styles of worshiping. Maybe we have different scriptures. Our book is the Holy Quran. But we also respect the Bible. We respect the Torah. We respect the Old Testament, the New Testament. Because this book is complementary to the Bible. Complementary. It's not contradiction. Complementary to the Bible. So we have to celebrate this unity. We have to remind ourselves every now and then, that we are brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters. This is how we keep America safe. This is how we keep America strong. We should not turn against each other. Even if some politicians are not wise enough, they sow the seed of dissent, but we should not be fooled by them. We should stand together. And I praise God tonight for having this wonderful gathering. Wonderful friends who came to celebrate the life of the Prophet. My friends, Prophet Muhammad's underpinning, the underpinnings of his mission stands on three foundations. Islam is about three things. These three principles encapsulate the entire mission of Islam, the entire mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And unfortunately, these three that I'm going to mention them soon are neglected and forgotten. This is why we have wars. This is why we have bloodshed. This is why we have refugees. This is why we have instability in our countries. Because these three principles, these are the real sunnah of the Prophet. Some people think that the sunnah of the Prophet, his tradition, is the way I brush my teeth. Sometimes I listen to some scholars, and he tells you this is how the Prophet was brushing his teeth. I don't care which way he was brushing his teeth. I care about something more important. I care about his manners. I care about the way, as Dr. Steve Gilliland mentioned earlier, the way he dealt with his friends as well as his enemies. I care about his forgiveness. I care about his love. I care about his equality. Prophet Muhammad lived in Medina. Medina was a cosmopolitan community. In Medina you had some atheists, some Jews, some Christians, some Muslims, some good people and some bad people. But Muhammad was the leader of all. Muhammad was able to attract people to his mission, to his religion, through his manners, through his forgiveness, through his humility. As Steve Gilliland mentioned, some people badmouth him, abuse him, physical abuse, mental abuse, but he would forgive them. God says about him, O Muhammad, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were hard-hearted, none would have stayed with you. They would have left you. But because of your humility, because of your patience, because of your forgiveness, people who assault you, you forgive them. And this is mentioned in this book, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O Muhammad, you are standing at the highest level of moral integration, moral refinement. Why? Because Imam al-Sadiq, his grandson, explains this verse in the Quran. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. He says, كَانَ يَعْفُو عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَهُ Muhammad's habit, Muhammad's tradition is always to forgive those who abuse him. Are we ready to do that? This is the sunnah of the Prophet. This is the real sunnah, not the way you brush your teeth. This is the sunnah of the Prophet. Are we ready to forgive? I don't know. I don't know about myself. Maybe it's easier to say it than doing it. That is the true sunnah, is to forgive. To forgive people. Revenge, retaliation would not bring a triumph or victory. But when you forgive, you teach yourself a lesson and your enemies a lesson. You bring them to your side. God says in the Quran, sometimes two peoples are enemies with each other. You have enemies, but you can win the hearts of your enemies. Not with food or money, not necessarily giving them money or food, but with a smile. You embrace them. You tell them, I have nothing against you. This is the sunnah of the Prophet. كَانَ يَعْفُوا عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَهُ وَيُعْطِي مَنْ حَرَمَهُ. He would give to those who did not give him. He will be generous to people. We have to be generous. We live probably in the most richest state in America. This is the fifth largest economy, the fifth strongest economy in the world. But it's still, if you go to Santa Ana, if you go to Costa Mesa here, and Irvine, and sometimes Newport Beach, you see some homeless people. You see some people who are searching for food to survive. We have to share. Our religion is not just the prayers and fasting. Our religion is about goodness and kindness and contribution to your community, to your society. So the underpinnings of his mission are three. Number one, knowledge and education. Islam is based on education. Islam is based on discovery. Islam is based on research. Islam is based on asking why I'm a Muslim. Islam is based on reading. And the first verse came upon Muhammad in this book. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. This book contains 6,600 words. More than 6,600 words. The very first word that descended upon the Prophet, اقرأ, read, reflect. Use your reason. Use your mind. How many Muslims use their mind? You know the rate of illiteracy in the Muslim countries, especially Arab countries, is very horrible. Go and check it out yourself. Check it out yourself. See the rate of illiteracy. People don't read or write. Their book says read. The first letter in their book is read. Read, learn. It's about education. How do we know about God? How do we discover God? Through ignorance? It's not through ignorance. Through research, through discussion, through knowledge. So this is his first underpinning. العلم رأس الخير كله والجهل رأس الشر كله. Prophet Muhammad says, knowledge is the fountainhead of every goodness in this life. Depends on knowledge, on learning, on education. Whereas ignorance is the fountainhead of every evil. Why ISIS turned against people, against the humanity? Why Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who was murdered, alhamdulillah, praise to God, they got rid of him and his caliphate. Why he was the enemy of the Muslims and non-Muslims? Why he murdered thousands and thousands of innocent women, children, citizens, worldwide? Because of ignorance. Because he was ignorant. This is the reason. So ignorance is the fountainhead of every evil, every corruption. The second principle of Islam, of Prophet Muhammad, is akhlaq, manners. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Prophet Muhammad came to a rich society. Quraysh was a very rich society. Most of them were businessmen and women. In fact, his wife Khadija, his first wife, the Honorable Khadija bint Khuwaylid, she was a multimillionaire in Mecca. She was very rich. So Muhammad came to a rich society. But many members of that society, they were ready to bury their daughters alive. They had no mercy on their own children. They would take their daughters to the desert, they dig a hole, and they bury them alive. A father buries his daughter. Can you imagine this? Muhammad came to this society to transform this society, to make them a true human being. Prophets do not teach us chemistry or physics or biology. They teach us human building. How to build your spirit. How to transform yourself to be a true human being. So mannerism, akhlaq, this is what we need today in the Muslim societies and non-Muslim societies. We need manners. And at the forefront of manners are two qualities. As-sidq wal-amana. As-sidq, telling the truth and being honest. And these were the titles of a Prophet Muhammad even before he became a prophet. Before he started his mission, he was well known in the Meccan society as Muhammad As-Sadiq al-Amin. As-Sadiq al-Amin. Telling the truth and being honest. That is the core of Islam, my friends. One day a person comes to the Prophet and says to him, "Oh, the Messenger of God, what is the meaning of Islam? What are you preaching?" The Prophet said only one word. Only one word. He said, "Ad-Din al-Mu'amala." Religion, faith, Islam means the way you deal with others. Your relationship with others. Examine, let's review and examine our relationship with our family members. Is it a good relationship? Do we have harmony among our families? Do we have harmony among the members of the community? This is the core of Islam. الدين المعاملة, the way you treat others. Muhammad came for this reason, to transform people, to make them true human being, humble people. And then the third principle of the Prophet and his mission and his religion is piety and righteousness. At-taqwa. At-taqwa. Steve Gilliland translated a verse in the Quran, one of the most beautiful verses in the Quran. Ibah Hathout read this during the memorial of her late father, Hassan Hathout. Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. O mankind, we made you on purpose. On purpose, we made you a diverse community. Look at how many colors we have here. Beautiful. Very colorful. Even what I am wearing is colorful. Beautiful. One day we counted the nationalities we have in this mosque, and it came to be 25 different nationalities. Lebanese American, Iranian Americans, Afghani Americans, Pakistani Americans, African Americans, you know, Nigerian Americans, you know, Syrian Americans, Palestinians Americans, Egyptian Americans, you name it. 25. This is the beauty of Islam. This is the United Nations here. This is the true United Nations. People of different colors, different races. But they get together, they understand each other, they relate to each other. This is the beauty of the humanity, when we are able to relate, to understand each other, to respect each other, to respect the existence of each other, the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression, the freedom of religion. We are under no pressure in this country. This is the beauty of America. There is no government in this country that tells you the way you should pray. That tells you that this is the religion you should follow. But you lack these things in the cradle of Islam. You go to Mecca, you have to pray the way they want you. The Sultan wants you to pray. not the way God wants you to pray. This is why we are here, because of religious freedom. So my friends, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. We have made you into tribes and nations, but God has no special relationship to any one of you except through what? Piety and righteousness and self-control and self-restraint and self-consciousness. Again, I welcome you tonight. We are waiting for you, Mark, to speak on this podium. Thank you for making it. And after that, we are waiting for you, Iba. You remind me of your honorable father. I loved him. The day he gave me his book, I have it on my desk. He says, إِلَىٰ أَخِي وَإِبْنِي مُصْطَفَى الْقَزْوِينِ. To my brother and my son, Mustafa al-Qazwini. I love your dad. Whenever I pass through 605, today I passed in the morning, I remember your father and your mother and your uncle Maher Hathout. I recite Fatiha for them. May Allah bless you all. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.